You know who we're about to talk to?
A stud.
Absolutely. The pride of Calgary.
Yeah.
Mike Soroka, he's back. He's coming off a big injury. He just went through the arbitration case. He's about to step in and get his physical from the Atlanta Braves back on overdrive. Here is Mike Soroka. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. How you feeling? You blew out your Achilles last year. You're only a few starts into the season. But it sounds like you're back and you're ready to rock. How you feeling these days?
I am. I'm very close. I'm about 6 months out right now, just past. So it's kind of about the time where things kind of start to click in again. And it couldn't be better timing with spring training getting going. And it's basically only a couple of restrictions that I'm on right now. We're basically just waiting to sprint. And once that comes along, then I don't have to worry about sprinting to go get a bunt or a weak chopper or something like that. So it's all getting exciting. I've been off the mound more than a few times now, and I just can't wait to get back in games at this point.
Brian just mentioned the ARB case. I went through that with the Carolina Hurricanes, and quite honestly, it was the most miserable experience of my professional sporting career. How was that? Can you take us through that situation and how you dealt with it?
Yeah, it's different. I don't know how it compared with hockey, but I'm sure probably pretty similarly.
Basically, I had to sit in a boardroom, and they said I was the worst player in the league. And the NHLPA sat on my behalf and said, this guy's not that bad. And then they said, no. And then they compared me to the other worst players in the league. And I was almost in tears, man. I was like, I never want to play for that team again. It sounds like yours wasn't that bad.
No, I think, for the most part, we kind of knew what we were going to get going in. My team, my agency, and lawyers were quite experienced, and they kind of had a good idea of what MLB was going to come out with, and the Braves, obviously. But really, the question was quality versus quantity. I just haven't pitched much, and that's something that I can understand. I can sit there and listen to them say I haven't pitched, because it's true. I've had two seasons that injuries have kind of prevented me from being out there, but it's really just kind of where we felt we needed to go, and during negotiations and stuff like that, we obviously saw things a little differently, but I'm very, very thankful the ARB panel saw it the way we did, and we came away with a win.
We're chatting with Mike Soroka of the Atlanta Braves. Today, I believe, is the 11th year anniversary of Jose Bautista signing his deal. He signed, a five-year deal, $64 million. That was after he hit 54 bombs. And there were people up in Toronto saying he didn't necessarily bet on himself. Like, he had not done that at any point in his career. But 54 home runs, the Jays offered him a bunch of money. He took it, but he just kept getting better and better and better. He didn't necessarily hit 54 home runs again, but he was a superstar in the league. In terms of your own team, Ronald Acuna, your teammate, he signed that monster deal, like a 10-year deal, I believe, after his rookie year. Where do you stand on that, Mike? Like, if Alex Anthopoulos came to you and said, we want to lock you up long-term, but maybe not at the money you're hoping for, would you want that type of security, or would you want to, quote-unquote, bet on yourself and say, I'm going to go win a couple Cy Youngs, and you're really going to have to pay me down the road?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to really look. I mean, you really got to look at individual situations. I mean, one thing you always got to understand is that someone like Ronald and Ozzy, who did sign those deals, they came up with, a different upbringing than we did. I'm very fortunate to have grown up in a household that kind of understood how to manage money and understood what money looks like, So it's kind of a different atmosphere growing up in so far as a lot of us. You can say that doesn't matter where you grew up. And I think that plays a big part of it. And you can always understand a guy taking something that's for sure. I mean, those guys set up their families for the rest of their lives. And, it's special. But, every situation is a little bit different. Obviously, mine is a little different right now, having not even thrown that much. We feel there's a lot of ways that I can go, and sometimes betting on yourself is what you need to do. I think it's pretty well proven, or at least it's shown really well, that players that manage to take those one-year contracts and bet on themselves, and kind of kicks you into new gear. It's why you always see guys succeed have their best years the year before being a free agent, it always just kind of keeps you sharp 100% of the time. You know, it's sometimes tough to do that. You know, you play 162 games, you pitch 33 games a season. You can say you're locked in on every single pitch, but whether you truly are or not sometimes just depends on what you got playing for you. So it always differs. And, you know, obviously if it comes down the line and that's something that, you know, is fair and we're interested in, then I mean, of course, I'll never say I won't talk about that because right. I'd be lying.
Pitchers and catchers report, you know, when you get to training camp, is there, I guess that moment, it's COVID protocols nowadays, but where you walk through, I guess, the door and you see guys that you haven't seen in a couple months, and is there that kind of, oh, wow moment? Maybe there's one or two guys where you can tell they haven't done a darn thing in the off season where they've been feeding the whole time. I mean, I used to go to training camp, and you could tell that guys had maybe put 10 pounds of muscle on. They look a little different. Their bodies look a little different. But there was also that one or two guys that you're like, okay, this guy hasn't done anything, or he's been on SlimFast for the last 7 days just trying to shed as much weight as he can before he has the weigh-in. Have you ever experienced that type of process as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, every spring training. I mean, it's fun to walk in there and see the guys, and especially the guys that, you know, have re-signed, like Marcel. We'll see Marcel again, and obviously knowing that it's a for sure thing that he's going to be around for the next 5 years, I guess, is understanding that, you know, it just almost feels more like a part of the team when a guy comes on a 1 year and you see a guy like that and you understand he's there for you now. So, but no, I mean, it's obviously a little different with baseball too, is because, I mean, everybody's got their own body type. And that's something that I try to kind of explain to a lot of people. They say, well, you don't have to be in shape to play baseball. And I said, well, not if that's not who you are. You know, some guys grow up never needing to be in shape, and they understand how to keep their arms going and their bodies healthy, stretched out. It works, but what you kind of want to see is guys go drastically in the other direction. You know, if you saw a guy pitch heavy his whole career and then all of a sudden he comes in 50 pounds less, it's kind of like, whoa, is this guy going to be able to repeat, because it's a skill? And then vice versa with throwing on all the muscle. I mean, it's great when you're a kid and you're in high school because it only really helps, but once you get to a certain point and you throw on a ton of muscle and tighten up, you can go the other way too. So it's a little different with baseball that way.
Mike, what would the chatter be in the clubhouse about the Dodgers, you know, getting Bauer, re-signing Turner? It seems like they just won and they're kind of fired up to continue to do that. Would you guys say, well, we have just as good a chance as them, or is it like, oh, wow, they're a real dangerous team?
Yeah, I mean, we love it. I mean, I think that's kind of what puts us in a category of our own, is we understand that we love competition. We love those games, and we got a ton of players that enjoy the games that they know they're going to have to bring their A game to win. And I think most competitors do, but I think there's just more of us on this team, and we see somebody like the Dodgers, and you expect the Dodgers to make moves like that. I mean, same with the Mets. They make moves and they're constantly improving, and so are we. And you know, you can kind of look at it as, you know, we didn't make the moves to hold up with them, but at the end of the day, I think all of us are again, we say, betting on ourselves and hoping that everybody else takes a step forward, and we think we can. I think we've got a solid core. We have for the last 3 or 4 years. We have the reigning MVP, right? You know, it's going to be things, and Alex has shown that he'll make moves throughout the season too, if need be. So, I think we're very confident going into the season that, you know, we can hang with them. They obviously have a very, very good team. They're a best team in baseball last year. But we see that, and, we're excited to play them, and, yeah, can't wait to get out there and compete.
With Mike Soroka of the Atlanta Braves, well, you guys added Charlie Morton to your staff. He had a great year last year in Tampa. And you've got a really quality staff. And if you're back and healthy and contributing to that, you guys are going to be right there. I mean, I know the Dodgers added Bauer. They're stacked. I mean, they are who they are. But you guys aren't far behind in terms of playoff contention. You've been there the past couple of years. How do you guys kind of motivate each other within a staff? Like, if you're loaded 1 through 5 and the other 4 guys are cooking, how does that affect you and maybe motivate you to continue to do what you've been doing?
Oh, yeah, it pushes you even farther. We saw that on the way up. I mean, when I joined the Braves, it was basically the start of the rebuild. You know, our low-A rotation is basically in the big leagues right now, double-A as well. I mean, we pretty much have a team of kids that I came up with that I got to compete with, and it's no different up here. When you see guys that do it day in, day out, and you just want to repeat, and, you know, we see buddies that have done it. I see my roommate here, Ian Anderson, and Max Fried. They come up and they do it, and you want to repeat. You want to show everybody that you can do it too. So, you know, that's awesome. But as far as motivation, like you said, I think we got it. And the Mets going out and making moves, as well as the Dodgers, I think that's it right there. That should be all. That's all I need. I don't know about them, but, you know, all absolutely. I need is to know that, you know, they're the team to beat, and we want a shot to do that.
Well, we wish you nothing but success and good luck. Good luck with physicals and sprinting again and getting back to the form you were in before you got injured. And we can't wait for the season to get started. So good luck this year, Mike, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
For sure. Thank you guys so much. Always a pleasure.
You got it, Mike. Thanks, Soroka. Mike. The pride of Calgary, Alberta. Big Mika Kiprasov fan, I believe he said back in
absolutely.
The day.
Absolutely. Why would
everyone love Kipper. Everyone.
Absolutely. And Iggy. I'm sure Iggy. He loved Iggy, too.
Of course. You got him, man. I don't think anyone could dislike Iginla. Even, like, Oiler fans would dislike him in a Flame jersey, but he's from Edmonton. So even from that standpoint, you're probably like, I got to like this guy. Well, like, how can you not like him?